You know who drew the plan? But which human being drew it? David. First of all, the Bobo was what? A shepherd, musician, warrior, king. When did you hear he was a builder? But when the revelation of God, the architect of the temple, came upon him, he drew a building nobody on earth could surpass. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. That's what I mean. That, you see, let me. I feel like saying this again about occultism and Christianity. It's important. Occultism is foolishness. What did I call it? Let's take medicine as an example. It's as if somebody has malaria. You know the way people do it. Let's talk on the natural level. We're not talking about prayer. We're just talking about medical treatment of malaria. Using, say, a drug like quinine. A doctor comes and says, you have malaria. This is the dose of quinine that I will give you that will work. You take it this number of days, this number of times a day. Don't go below this level. Don't go above this level. And your grandmother from the village comes and says, these doctors, they don't know it. Those days, we used to go to the dongoyaro tree and we'll pluck it and cook it. Then the juice inside, once you drink it, you know what you tell your grandmother simply? Grandmama, don't worry about it. This quinine is the same thing you used to drink without knowing the dosage. Effective and the lethal dosage quinine can stop your heart. All right? You don't know the one that kills? And when you boil that thing, there are at least 5,000 other chemicals that are unnecessary, which you drink along with the side effects. That is, I'm not saying, you see, some people think that modern medicine doesn't know. No, we are saying that they too, they drank it. Quinine was extracted from the same place as your great-grandfathers were extracting it. Except that these people took it to the lab, removed the simple thing that's working, and let the rest go. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to paint here? So you see that harvesting the tree and cooking it is foolishness. In the light of the fact that a modern person has taken the thing you want from it and put into a small tablet and said, take this quinine. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. I hope you're following me. Let's get back to the spiritual lesson. That's how occultism is. Join a cult. And that's why Christians, I don't like this modernized occultism we call Christianity. You can't sleep at night because you want to pray. And before you pray, there must be a seed in your hand. Listen, this is not Christianity. This is occultism. I'm telling you the truth. Nothing leaves God's hand until something leaves your hand. I don't know why we just open our mouths and believe lies. We tell lies and we open our ears and believe them. Things are glaring in scriptures. They will start telling fantastic stories. That's how I was preaching the other day. As I said, the woman said, God, this is the only car I have. What will you do for me? God said, bring her first. You know me, I'm a preacher. This ministry spends millions and millions of naira every year, and it comes from offerings. And I expect good Christians to be good givers. But the point I'm making is this. We don't get from God because of it. One man wrote me a mail. Or wrote us a mail. Kingdom what? How he gave. And that he's confused right now. Israel, I showed it to you. He's confused right now. Because he commanded the blessing of the tithe upon that. He lost two jobs in one day. After he has packed the offering and the tithe. And confessed upon it. Oh, you know, Christian, they won't leave it alone. Do you know why? The power of the flesh is what we like to hold on to. Let me quickly drop this one for you again, in case you did not know it before. If you want anything from God, what do? You ask. You ask in faith. Nothing wavering. No doubt in your heart. And make sure you are not asking because you are competing with somebody. My friend has bought, I want. That kind of thing. James said, you won't get anything. Say, Pastor Mike, what about offerings? What about giving? A true Christian is a cheerful giver. I've never sowed a seed into my children's lives. Have I? We are paying school fees right now. I know how much I'm coughing out for a number of children that live in my house. None of them is a seed. All of it is a duty. It's a responsibility. If I don't do it, who will do it? My late father? Who will do it? I'll come and say, please, I want to pay my children's school because the money I gave you, what was it for? Giving for a Christian is like that. If you love the word of God, you will give towards the propagation of it. If you appreciate what God has done for you, you will use money to say thank you. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? If you see somebody who is in need, you will give to him. Manipulating spiritual forces by our offerings is inferior. That's what I'm talking about. It's like cooking your tree back again to get quinine out. The real medicine has been purified. The real medicine became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The real medicine introduced us to the Father. The real medicine died that we may be able to approach God and lie on Him like my daughter would do. You just lie down there. As maybe your body is hot. Is your body paining you? Yes, Daddy. That is, there's nothing like heal me and I will serve you. My daughter has never said, only my children said to me that, Daddy, if you just miss this pain, go away. I'll be your son for life. I'm telling you, Christianity is not what we hear preach a lot these days. If my children even compete on who will fall sick for one reason sometimes. Because once you are not well, you sleep in my room. So just come, Daddy, touch. Because if the judgment is warm a bit, so where's my space? The stretch on is a healing bed, so it's a healing bed. There's no commitment made. Once I get well, you'll be the correct daddy. I'm the correct daddy whether you are sick or you are well. Your mother can't change who's responsible for this pregnancy. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your seed is not going to change it. Say, Daddy, as I do this one, I'll know you are, as you do this one, I know you are the real daddy. I said, don't forget that one. Go and ask your mother. She knows. Which is what we try to do. God has been introduced to us by Jesus Christ as what? Father. You have a problem, just enter into his throne room and lie on him. Let him feel that you have a financial headache. You have an emotional fever. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He will touch it, he will feel it. And the Bible says he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Why do we behave like we are orphans? We behave like we are orphans. Who they have put somewhere for one man we don't know to take care of, and we have to do everything to please him before we can get anything. Many people pray every morning because without it, there's no prosperity. They don't love prayer. They are not getting anything from that word. Nothing. Just that one man somewhere was saying that every day I used to wake up to pray. Then one day revelation opened. And then I saw the business I would do. I became financially prosperous. They go home and say, praise God. We have learned the method. Once they say it like that, they fall from the third heavens. They drop below. They get to a place where they have to be contending with evil spirits. They have to be contending with the prince of Persia. They have to be contending with all kinds of spirits. So we step into a place where, of contention, where Satan has a very strong force. It can withhold our angels from manifesting. Why? Because we want to pray. Say, Lord, remember, this is my checkbook. We'll check it. There's no time. There's no time that my title was not complete. This year is my year of breakthrough. Because it was complete. This shirt you are wearing, the day they gave it, did it tear your shoulder for me? Ah, you want to collect tithe of shirt? He said, yes, now. Bring the whole tithe. It's the whole tithe. It's okay. After this prayer, I will settle that one. Say, Lord, there's no time. Look at my checkbook. All my money. Now you are the giver. Wait. Me, always. Let me show you something. The day you collect your side, did you not send the money to your brother quick so you can pay school fees? Was that the first one? Say, Lord, why they talk like this? Now solve this problem. Now be half. Now, so if I talk first, this one of calculating what you have done, it does not work. It takes you from the third heavenly realm, drops it to a realm where we'll be contending every time with evil spirits. Just walk into the throne room and lie down. Pam! Financial fever. Lord, treat. Why? Because the only begotten Son has revealed him as what? Father. And what you know, I said, is the power of the realm of the Spirit. It's not what you do. I pray you get the point. It's not what you do. For us believers, doing is an outward expression of what we know. Do you get my point? Doing is just the outward expression of that which we know. It's just a natural expression. What we want in life is to know. I was saying earlier, let me connect back that back. What we want in life is to know the name that our Father bears under every situation. And when I say name he bears, don't forget, it's not a language. You know, Lord, what's your name? Say in that place. No, I'm not Megidishki, I'm Kakabashku. And for information, the Megidishku and the Shikenu and the Jireh, all those things that you call, they are the Hebrew words for simple things. It's like me coming to pray, say, oh Lord, thou art the most high God, Jehovah Olupese. Olupese is a Yoruba word for provider. I don't know why you get my point. It doesn't make you spiritual. It just means you speak Yoruba, that's all. But when you say, oh, when Pastor Bank is praying, my God, there's an anointing with which he calls God down. Last time I heard him say, Jehovah Olupese. Then you go there with your Igbo accent. You now come. He say, Jehovah Olupese. And God say, who are you talking to there? He said, foolish boy. The guy just said, God the provider in his language. Talk your own. It was not feeling very spiritual because we are speaking Hebrew. Bad Hebrew with bad tongues. You get that? When I'm talking about the name that God bears, what I mean is that your recognition of the power he holds in that regard. There are those that think that once it's America, God doesn't go there. So he does not know how business is done abroad. So my business cannot extend beyond the shores of Nigeria. I say this to you all the time. It's one of the problems. You know, if you hear people talk, I've seen it a lot. You know, Nigerians generally, listen to this. When they emigrate abroad, generally, I've given this as an illustration again and again because it's so true. Generally, when Nigerians emigrate abroad, go and check it. Like I said, generally, it's not a law as it must be. There are exceptions. The doctors tend to do well. They fit in relatively rapidly. After some months, a year or two, they've gotten a job, then residency program. Are you getting my point? And everything starts moving. Most of the times, when the lawyer gets there, he drops his legal degree. The engineer forgets he ever read engineering. The architect says they don't build houses in America. And whatever it is they study, they drop it. And I say to them all the time, it's a mistake. I happen to have a friend, I've told the story again and again, who is a lawyer. Currently, he's a professor of law at Thurgood Marshall School of Law in Texas. Where, in fact, it was my junior university. That's if you take year for year, all right? We're in school at the same time, but he studied law, but he came, I think, about 2 years after me. Why? Because he didn't seem to understand what everybody else understands. He's only that this is what I like to do. I'm good with law. He has a PhD in law. I like to teach. He applied for a job that almost 2,000 people applied for, and they needed only two people. He was one of the people they took, and he's a Nigerian. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. A lot of us just think that once you, if it's Nigeria, we can believe God. Father God, you will set this my profession in the name of Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail. Once you reach America, God, you know, say, you don't understand the way the things they work for this side. So, So we will pray. Just open door, sha. Or this legal door, forget it. This engineering door, close it. Because now, are you getting what I'm saying? That the name of God, I'm talking about recognizing the power that God wields in that situation. That's what I mean. That's the name of God. Someone will call him, you know, the Hebrew, say Jehovah Rapha. Forget Jehovah Rapha. Rapha is not something you understand. Just know simply that this my father, there is no disease he cannot cure. That is his name. Oh, I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is his name. The one that is able to cure every disease, no matter the name that the normal human doctor calls it. That one is my father. Listen, I was saying occultism is when men, not understanding that there is a place, the place of ultimate power, where we can go in and just lie down. That's why they come down and try to start entering into cults. Most of those cults is nothing but a social network. It's nothing but social network. I hope you know. Presided over by a man who sees into the second realms of the heavens. Most of the time, in a social network. But those of us that know the name of God, that is where real power is. So tell your neighbor, real power. Now, let me tell you about real power. That is the meaning of the word eternal life. Eternal life does not mean I will live and live and live and not die ever. That's part of it. Everything spiritual has a length, has a breadth, has a height, and has a depth. Are you getting my point? Oftentimes we look only at the length. How long will I live? But there is a width, the breadth of it. We talked about the quality of that life. Are you getting my point? There is a depth. We talked about the satisfaction that I experience living that life. That's eternal life. The summary of eternal life is all the power of God made manifest for mankind. That's eternal life. And he said, this is eternal life. How do they contact eternal life? That they come to the knowledge of what God truly is in their lives. Who the real God is in their lives. So instead of him being the God of the heavens, Jesus said, no. His name is what? Father. And in case you do not know it, Father simply means, like I said earlier, somebody you can walk into his living room while his legs are crossed watching TV and just lie down on him and say, diagnose my troubles and solve them. The Jew didn't understand that. They knew a God you had to sacrifice to. Like Job will say, lest my children have cursed God in their hearts and then God, you're vexed for them. Let's quickly do a sacrifice. They understood that. But a God that loves them, let me tell you something. The amount of God's power that you contact really is the depth of conviction you have concerning his love for you. You know, Jesus raised the dead. This is the interesting part. On what premise? Because he was convinced that there's nothing he ever asked the Father for that the Father does not grant. Read it though. It's there. I didn't invent it. He said, Father, I thank you because I know you have heard me. And indeed, you hear me always. When he went to the cross, he had to explain to Peter, if I told them ahead of time, things like this don't happen because they want to happen. They happen only because I allow it. Or allow them. So when Peter began to fight, he said, relax. Are you thinking that if I wanted deliverance, I would not have asked the Father for 12 legions of angels? You know what that means? If we have the understanding and the revelation of the power of God, when you want to sleep at night, and they say there are many armed robbers around this area, you just turn your head and say, Lord, 12 legions of angels per group of armed robbers. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting my point? And really, to prove to you that he's alive and well, that prayer, tomorrow you see two groups of people in pieces, that each person will be broken to 12. One hand, they always say, what happened? Say they were fighting amongst themselves. You know, when angels want to manifest, they manifest in funny manners. those legions that surrounded Elisha, what did they do? They made men that their eyes were open. They made them blind, but not physically blind. They just brought confusion to them, and that was a manifestation of angelic presence. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That is, if you are convinced, and that's actually this whole series of messages I'm preaching on this eternal life thing, is to stir your heart to go towards that conviction of knowledge, which the Greek man calls epignosis. Not doubting, not like, maybe it will work, let's try this one. People say that, when you've done this, it does not work, try this. I say, no, you don't understand God well enough. He said, when you have prayed and prayed, it doesn't work, try praise. And when you praise, doesn't work, try thanksgiving. Then when I say, you have not understood God the Father. That's why you are trying this and trying that. What am I stirring in your heart? That the quest of your heart, this, no, I said this 2013, is the, that's what you understand, is your year of walking closer to God. It's your year of understanding. It's your year, let me summarize it, of epignosis. Amen. Deep and certain, unshaken knowledge of who God is in every situation. Amen. That is when we understand that, we won't be afraid. Because Jesus says simply, because I understood the Father. That's why he looked to Peter and said, are you telling me you don't realize that if I wanted deliverance, I would have asked for 12 legions. And they will have finished all these people. Please, I hope you're following the point I'm making. Is that knowledge of God the Father as the man, the power he holds over everything, is that conviction you have about it that releases that power in your direction? In the realm of the spirit, knowledge is what? Power. And today again, I've explained it, that there are different levels, so don't let anybody harass you. The Ogboni man has his own level. It's inferior to yours. The Enkaka man tried to struggle into a level where a man comes and says, who? Then he answers, who? Let's walk together in the realm of the dreams. The dream master is a level of confusion. Cheap demons that who have not finished their school certificates are the ones that are controlling those areas. Even principalities don't have time. That's what I think. You see, those men who are conjuring up spirits, they have their own level. But the level that Jesus introduced us to, which was the reason, after I did my study that time, I said, this is unnecessary. Trying to learn all these mechanics is unnecessary. Christians sometimes sit down there, learn the mechanism. See, you wake up in the morning. You know, we do it a lot. You start making. Now, listen, you must understand what I'm saying. We start trying to use words as, oh God, please get me. I don't want to cause confusion. We start trying to use words as words in themselves. Once I was watching this man on TV, Samson Dinsaka. How many of you know Samson Dinsaka? Nobody go Lagos. We're here. It's Chris Lanhab that time. These guys don't know Jacob. Chris Lanhab. One man decided that the Christians and the Muslims are the same thing. So he said, he started a religion called Chrislam. Then one day he said, let's add the herbalist to it, which is what in the... Yes, I'm serious. So now said the religion is now Chrislam Hab. He had a big church in Lagos. No be joke. You know that Lagos there? All kinds of demons did there. He called the Chris Lahab. His name was Shamsuddin Saka. He now changed into Samson Din Saka. And he had what they called Today 3 and Today 7. And for those who don't speak Yoruba, it sounds like big occultic language. 2 days Yoruba was for deliverance, the loosening of bondage. Now, why I tell the story is this. Once I was watching him on TV in Lagos, he said, you will tell your mouth. You command your mouth. I said, who teach this, bro? This thing. The same confession. Are you getting my point? That I thought we learned as Word of Faith disciples. And you see those women say, you put your hand on your head and you tell your body. And see gyration. You say if you pray. Chris Lanhab, man, was praying. Large congregation. I'm not kidding. Look, I don't know whether he has gone bankrupt now, but after a while, men go bankrupt. But that time, he also had land on the express. Sit down there. So men start engineering those things for this. That is words. I preach about the power of words. All right? But they start engineering those things as power in themselves. That's not heaven. That's not third heaven level. What is third heaven level? We are echoes of the words of God. Did you hear what I said? Because he has said, therefore we boldly say. That's it. Anything he has not said, we have no business waking up in the morning and declaring it. In the name of Jesus, this cloud, they will shift to this side. In the name of Jesus, the cloud, why are they here? Shift to this side. In the name of Jesus, cloud shift. So if we say long enough, the cloud, you know, when I was in secondary school, somebody told me once that, I didn't know the Bible that I was a child. He said that if you say to this double bunk bed, say if you can make it go from here and go there. No, small boy, listen to a boy slightly less small than him. You get my point? All small boys, but that one not small reach me. So after the guy come on, now I look at that bunk, say, boy, you go shift. I begin try. Then some say, no, what you do, you close your eyes like this. I rapidly agree with those things, praise God. Unfortunately, some people think Christianity, that's what it is. No, in Christianity, our words are different. Our words are simple. If he has said, therefore, we boldly say. Our confessions are not words trying to control the earth in themselves. They are the manifestations of uttered judgment from the mouth of God. That is, if God has said something, what he's saying is, effect is this. My prophets, go down and say it. Like I said it. Are you getting my point? So Jeremiah will write a scroll and he'll give it to Sariah. And so when you get to Babylon, take the scroll out and read it over the city. And when you finish, roll it up, tie a stone to it, throw it into the Euphrates, and then say, thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. Those were prophetic words that were uttered because God said something. When we start trying to use our own words in themselves, we have come out of the realm of God. Listen, all we want is to experience God. What did I say? All we want is to what? Experience God. Let me just remind us of something I said last time, and I close with it. I said last time that, listen, being heavenly minded does not mean you want to go to heaven. Amen? Being heavenly minded does not mean what? That you want to go to heaven. If I say those who want to go to heaven, put up your hands. Don't bother putting up your hands. Ask me, say, where else can I go? Those are gospels for children. If you want to go to heaven, put up your hand. That's for sinners. Praise the Lord. So you know, it looks like you're applying to go to hellfire. So if you want to change course, but for those who have given their lives to Christ and they are walking with God, it's not a good question. The question is, where else will I go? Are you saying I have another option? Because I don't have. If I die today, I'm automatically sucked in that direction. No discussion. So when they get to the gate, they check whether you committed sin. I will tell the person to be careful himself. Come on, shift. May I pass? Say, wait, let me check your register. For what? You never hear say Jesus died? St. Peter is not at the gate. He's busy inside. Are you getting my point? Being heaven-minded simply means that my mind interprets the events of life according to the knowledge of God in heaven that I have. That's what it means. That is, having the mind that was made in heaven. That's what it means. It doesn't mean this earth is not my home, I'm just passing through. You know, I say to you all the time, this earth is not my home. Amen? Is it your home? Hey, where we disagree is in the passing through matter. I am not just passing through. This is not a road, it's an assignment. It's like saying my office is not my home, I'm just passing through. No. I work there. They expect me to solve problems. I'm currently a head of department, so every time my wife's a witness, my phone is always ringing, even on weekends. It's not that this office is not my home, I'm just passing through. No. If you just pass through like that, you just get sacked. Amen? In the same matter, yes, this earth is not your home, but you are not just passing through. You are here to execute God's judgment on the earth. And when you are going, you go back to where you belong. Amen? Amen. But what does it mean to be heaven-minded? To have a mind that looks down from heaven. To have a mind that knows that the plan, that there are contending forces over Nigeria as a nation. And it's war. And this is how we fight. We take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we declare it over this nation. And with that sword of the Spirit, we beat back the hand of the enemy. Are you getting my point? Like I said to you last time, I went for a meeting, and the man prophesied that, pray that this does not happen. If indeed he's a credible prophet, I will pray because God said, pray. And how do I pray? It's not that, hey, you know go happen, no, you know go happen, no. No, I take the word of God. Like I said last time, I said, God, you know, it bears a name. God that makes wars cease. We declare your name upon this nation. And then suddenly he starts catching Boko Haram people. You know, drug dealers, armed robbers, kidnappers. Some of them will drive to police station, not knowing they're driving to police station. Please, I'm a kidnapper. I say, what am I doing here? It's a spirit that drove you there. Why? Because we were declaring his name over the nation. I hope you're getting my point. I hope you're getting my point. Being heaven-minded means I don't reason. In fact, there's something I wanted to mention. Let's just read that. Or maybe I can pick up from it next time. That's the issue about righteous judgment. Being heaven-minded simply means I judge with righteous judgment. You find that in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3. But because of time, we won't read it now. Maybe we'll pick up from it next time. Being heaven-minded means that if you read Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3, it said that he will not judge with the hearing of his ears or with the seeing of his eyes, but with righteousness he will do his judgment. Are you getting my point? What does that mean? Like in Nigeria of today, you know, tribalism is a serious, if I'm not tribalism now, let me use the word religionism. People sit down, it's them and us. Who is them? North and South. As if most people in the South believe in God. It's very funny. You hear Christians say that, all our brothers in the north, you come to the south and ask them why, so that they leave the Christians there for who? Tell your neighbor, don't be wicked. Heaven-minded people, they don't talk like that. That's selfishness. That's desire for self-preservation alone. And he's the one that wants to keep his life that will lose it. Those who are heaven-minded, they look, they know from the book of Revelations that calamity is on the earth when judgment is pronounced from the heavens. So what do? They begin to ask God for mercy over the land. They ask God for his mercy over the land. They remind God that we are the salt of the earth. And if we will walk in righteousness, this earth must be preserved. That's heaven-mindedness. It's not, let me just die and go to heaven. This earth is too bad. That is coward-mindedness. That's cowardice. Afraid. Being heaven-minded means I understand why I was born. And I realized I was not born just to go and buy a nice car and drive that home at Christmas and get a big title and become an usher also. You know what I'm saying? And you now want to take a seat amongst men because you have some extra money in your bank account that you have not spent. And you're feeling important and tough with yourself. No, being heaven-minded means I understand that cannot be life. Being heaven-minded means I understand that I was created to do something. I must impact this life. If I were to die today, somebody should shed tears uncontrollably because a source of blessing has gone. Not, that guy was rich. I need to shop life before I die. Are you getting my point? That is, if I'm extracted from this earth today, a serious vacuum must be created. Because for the period I was here, I was a blessing to the lives of people. Being heaven-minded means I realize how to assess my life. You know, I was thinking about it again. I sent that article out some time ago. How to count your possessions. A heavenly-minded man does not look and say, you have been working for the last 15 years. What do you have? Look at my bank account. I have land. I have one in Otupo, one in Port Harcourt, one in Abuja, and the house in Enugu is about to finish. In 15 years of work, you don't try. A heavenly-minded person doesn't count possessions like that. A heavenly-minded person counts possessions like this. How much have I been able to bless people's lives in the period that God has given me the opportunity? Even if today I'm working with next to nothing, it doesn't mean anything because I have treasure in heaven. You get the point? That's the person that's heaven-minded. And Christians, let me just drop that. You must reject earthly-mindedness. It's called carnality. The Bible says to be carnally-minded brings you under the subject of spiritual death. What is carnal mind? Carnal mind is that, oh boy, that guy is doing well. How do you know he's doing well? He don't finish the house for village now. And the one for Enugu almost finished. I heard they don't buy land for Lagos. The guy is doing well. They're carnal-minded. You'll soon fall sick. Yes, you're a carnal-minded person. You'll soon fall sick. You don't know that God doesn't judge you only for what you do, but for the things you approve. If you said that there's nothing wrong with homosexuality, if he's in love with a man, let him marry, you're dead meat. You and the homosexual are the same. If God is sending people to hellfire for that, he throws you inside. Say, God, but I had a wife. You know, like Barack Obama. He can go and say, Lord, I had a wife all my life. God said, no, but you said they should be allowed to marry. Go inside there, my friend. So a heaven-minded person is careful. It's not only how you assess yourself. In fact, the only way you know how you are assessing yourself is how you are assessing other people. Because you are very kind towards yourself, you know that. You sit and tell yourself, I haven't done badly after I did not steal. Amen? Yeah. The righteousness has been my portion inside my poverty. Amen? You are very kind to yourself. But you turn to your cousin. Don't mind him. Since he went to America, he has not even bought a car. Don't mind him. Useless boy. You got abuse and why? He never buy a motor. It's a way of telling you that's how you are assessing yourself. That's your real mindset. You know, my friends, those days, they used to walk somewhere. If you enter their office, when they want to check you, when they go, they'll go down and peep. The car, their office was upstairs. I was there with him one day, say, waiting. Now the motorway bring up, why you call them make noise like that? And you see them fighting. One of my friends, the other day, I told him, oh, boy, don't try it. She's going to buy a G-Class. I said, why? He said, because you make a statement with it. I said, a naked Adam can get any job. I hope you know that. If the glory has not departed from you, you will get job. You can be a slave in prison if you have the thing. Are you getting my point? They will call you and make you prime minister. You can go there in an old Corolla. If you open your mouth and glory comes forth, you will defeat those who came with their Rolls Royces. That's a heaven mentality. That's what? A heaven mentality. Let me end with this gist I heard the other day. I don't know whether I said it here. Omar was preaching. He told the story from 2 Kings chapter, is it 5 or 7 now? The story of the lepers that went to the camp of the enemy. And then now found everybody had disappeared. He said those men ran away because they heard a sound that they thought that they had gone to hire a bigger army against them. He now made a statement. He talks on relationship and marriage. So that's why I want to repeat it. He says, some people who go and buy motor, they want to impress a woman. They change their clothes, everything, because they want to impress a woman. He says, it's not what you are saying. It is what God makes the person hear. I said, this is revelation. It's not what you are saying. It's what God is causing them to what? To hear. You can go there and blow bad English. People will say, anytime he's talking, yeah, I'm so excited. Meanwhile, the people that God did not ordain, they will say, see the kind of English way they speak, self. You can go there with a bad motor car. And the guy will say, this guy, even the small car he has, he's so excited. Oh God, he's just full of life. My difference will say, That is not what they are saying. It is what God causes them to what? To hear. Understanding that is part of being heaven-minded. I hope you've gotten my point today. If you are blessed, they shout a loud amen. Yeah. Let us bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.